It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. Guys, it's a busy week. Trade deadline is looming. It seemed like it was yesterday because we had like a ton of major trades and it's still going today. So we're going to break those down. We're also going to look at Rocco. You had quite an adventure going to see Zane Parekh, so we're gonna let you tell that story. As always, we're going to get to our Habs prospect of the week, and Grant has a sleeper of the week to get to, so let's get started.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to the Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, producer Shane reporting for duty with my fellow co-host Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Great, how you doing?
Gotta love March, eh? Once March rolls around, the trade deadline, the playoffs get going with all the draft prospects. It's just for a scout and a hockey fanatic like Rocco and I and you too, Shane. It's just it's a great time of year. I get excited.
I can't ask for much more. And I mean, yesterday we were treated to quite the afternoon or even the morning. I mean, it all started with Ottawa. Moving Vladimir Tarasenko to the Florida Panthers. We can bring up the graphic. We have it here for a 2024 fourth round pick and a 2025 third round pick. Now the 2024 pick is conditional. It upgrades to a 2026 third round pick if Florida wins the cup. So, you know, not a big deal. But Rocco, I know you're a Sens fan, so we'll start with you. What did you think of this trade?
Well, you know what? I got the Panthers about a month ago at 9-1 to win the cup. So that part of me really likes the deal.
Okay.
Their odds got a little tougher since that move. So that's good. But don't love the return. Obviously at all. Not even a little bit. But I don't think that has anything to do with the current regime that's there. They didn't sign him with a no move. You know, Tarasenko held all the cards. From my understanding, there was a very limited, possibly even just one team that he was willing to waive for. By all accounts, he really likes Ottawa and the city, and you know, is important to him to not really disrupt family life too much. And one of his kids is here, and the rest of his family lives in Florida already. They've got a house there. So I think that was a big thing. It may have been Panthers or bust, at which case you have two choices basically as the GM. Play a game of chicken with both Florida and Tarasenko to see if you can get a little bit better return, or see if he'll open up the teams that he's willing to go to try to get more suitors out there and therefore increase the number of bids. Or you take what you can get from the Panthers, which is probably, you know, below what he would have got if he didn't have that no move clause. But I think ultimately you get a couple picks, not ideal, but you know, you send a message to at least other players, know that you're willing to do right by them, and you're not going to hardball them into a situation that you don't want. I think, you know, Ottawa from a management and a public relations standpoint hasn't had the best go around the last the last few years, and players know that. So, you know, at least other players see that they're being treated well and taken care of. Maybe that's worth something. But ultimately, I think Stamos was kind of backed into a corner and was very limited in terms of what kind of negotiating power he had, which is essentially zero. So at least he got two picks for him. The fourth moving to a third, whatever. You end up with 2/3 best case. It's not great, but I don't think it has anything to do with anybody that's still working for the Ottawa Senators.
So you got a little PTSD today after that?
Pure traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, but at the same time, yes, but at the same time, we don't know. And like, I'll be the first one to shit on Pierre Dorion. Like, and I enjoy doing it. But the Tarasenko thing is one thing. Aside from the cap implications, which the Sens injured their way out of being in cap trouble, I guess. But maybe Tarasenko doesn't sign at all in Ottawa without that no move clause, and then maybe you're not getting a couple free picks out of it. So that's the other way that I'm choosing to look at it. We don't know what those negotiations were like. If he was saying, you know, I'll only come to Ottawa if I control my fate at the deadline, sort of thing, and that may have been the case. We don't know, but either way, definitely. I mean, Anthony Mantha is getting more than Tarasenko is, and in what universe does that make any sense? Especially when Sens are retaining 50, you're getting him at $2.5 million prorated from the deadline. You're paying him nothing. Yeah. So the rich get richer, no tax in Florida. They're my pick to come out of the East. They were before, and they are even more so now. So
yeah.
Underwhelming return, but at least we got something. And who knows, maybe Tarasenko plays the hero and comes back to Ottawa as a free agent, you know, and like, hey, you know, you get two picks plus I'll come back. That's not so bad.
Hey, maybe that'd be something.
I'm trying to find a.
No, that's it. That's it. That's yeah. Good. That's good.
The trade sucked, but whatever.
Yeah.
Not much Deos could do about it. I really believe that.
No, you're right. Grant, did you have any thoughts on the
next one? Next?
I got that out of my system.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. We'll move to a team that was very busy yesterday, and that's the Colorado Avalanche. They first started with the Sean Walker trade. They acquired Sean Walker and a 2026 fifth rounder in exchange for Ryan Johansson and a conditional first round pick in 2025, which is top 10 protected. That's the condition on it. And they followed that up with trading Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt. One for one. This is just a fun trade. Like, this is the shit that you want to see, you know? And we get fewer and fewer of these. It's always, oh, a pick. Two young players swapping is electric. I love this trade. Grant, I want to get your thoughts because I know you love it too.
Yeah, for sure. You deal from a position of strength to try to fill a need, right? Each team. Buffalo needed a defenseman. Like, they've got Power and Dahlin, but they needed another guy for the second pairing. Like, they've still had trouble keeping goals out of their net. So they needed that. And they've got a pile of young drafted forwards in the recent years that are going to come up and take spots, and that I think, like Oslin, for instance, it will be better. You know, that'll open up a spot for him down the road. He's not far away. And Rosin and Savoy, they already got Benson coming, like, that's already on the team. So they've got a lot of good young, Paterka and Quinn are young, you know. So all of this young forward talent, that you can only have so many of them in your top six, and they've all got top six potential. So it made sense for them to go this route, and in doing so, picking up a young defenseman that'll get a lot more opportunity, I think. Colorado, I mean, it's not an easy situation for a young guy to come into. That's a team that's pushing for a cup again. He'll go where there's less pressure. They'll have a year or two to build up to being at Colorado's level. So he won't have those really important games where a mistake can, you know, be the difference between winning the cup and losing the cup in a playoff series. He won't have that pressure for a couple of years, probably, right? And he can grow his game, you know, just gradually, because I think he's maybe struggled a little this year at times. But with Buffalo, he'll, you know, they'll be patient and they'll give him lots of opportunity to play. And I loved Byram in his draft year, so I still think that he can be a heck of a defenseman. But that's a nice, you know, how many teams have three defensemen that are the top four picks, or, you know, like that are all under the age of what, 25? So yeah. That's a nice starting point to build around, you know. So I like the trade for Buffalo, and I mean, it just made sense for Colorado too, because mm-hmm. they have a decent defense. They've got Gulayev's going to be coming in. They picked him in the first round last year, so he can conceivably take Byron's spot down the road. And they needed, you know, they tried Johansson as their second line center, and I think it's safe to say that it, you know, it wasn't working out. Mittelstadt was leading Buffalo in scoring. So, I mean, he's reached that next level in his game that we've kind of been waiting for since he was a top 10 pick. So, there's their second line center spot, you know, filled for what could be a promising playoff run there. So, I like the deal from both sides. It made sense. And those are the kinds of trades I just love to see, because I'm surprised there aren't more of them where teams, you look, we've got an excess here. We need this. Why don't we swap two young guys, and both teams in the long run, I think, will be better.
Mm-hmm. Rocco, what'd you think?
No, I agree with that. Win-win for both of them. Mm-hmm. Byron's going to get, he needs a little bit of a change of scenery, I think. Wasn't getting necessarily opportunities, especially on the special teams that you need to develop into the potential that he obviously does have. He also suffered through a ton of injuries there in Colorado. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just need to switch it up. If he can stay healthy, get an opportunity, play a little bit more on special teams, maybe some more offensive situations, 5-on-5, maybe his game can bloom into what, you know, what I think most people agreed was a pretty good package coming out of his draft year. Mittelstadt's been a little slower to develop, but like Grant said, he's hitting his stride this year. And I've never been the biggest Casey Mittelstadt fan. But he's the warts that he had when he was younger, he's ironed a lot of them out of his game. The selfishness and that sort of thing isn't there. And going into a team like Colorado that has that winning history, I think that's going to allow for him to take the next step in his career as well. So it doesn't hurt to go play beside McKinnon and Rantanen and Makar and play under Sakic. You know, you're going to get the best out of guys, you hope, for the most part. And Johansson just clearly wasn't a fit in Colorado. I'm not sure. I don't know the guy personally, but I'm not sure how much he really cares. And that's always been the story with him, is what version of him are you getting? And Colorado doesn't have much patience for that kind of stuff. So ship him out and, you know, Colorado saves some money. The culmination of those two deals, they give up a first for it, but they've got a little extra wiggle room. They're probably going to backdoor Landeskog and just sitting out until the playoffs and get that cap relief and look out for the Avalanche.
Yeah. Well, they had two first round picks last year. So I think they, you know,
sure, yeah,
they turn around and say, well, we can afford to ship one off this year.
And now you have room to add another guy if you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. But the thing is, it's a 2025 first round pick.
That's right.
And that's a theme that I noticed yesterday. Is whenever the first was dealt, except for the Oilers, it was never 2024. And I think that's a testament to this draft class, because teams know that you're going to get something good in the first round this year. So I'm expecting more deals to come, more first round picks to be traded. And I expect them to be, you know, 2025, 2026. I think GMs are really pushing to keep that 2024 pick. Yeah, it's very telling.
I was doing I did an article this week on Savard and where he might end up, and I was looking at every team, you know, teams that have drafted and traded first round picks. Colorado has 11 first round picks out of their last 12. They made a pick in the first round, believe it or not. Like one of the few team contenders that you can say that about. So
that's great.
You know, they have some prospects coming, and they've made first round picks. So that was expendable for them, I think. And a good point by Rocco about, you know, Mittelstadt. I was the same. I think I ranked them like 10th, or, you know, I know a lot of people had them top 7 in the draft year, but they were, I mean, I don't think he even did a bench press, you know,
pull up. He did.
Sam Bennett was the pull up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, he didn't work hard off the ice, and it affected him his first 2 or 3 years. I think he thought he could just get by on his natural talent, and you learn in a hurry, right? But who a better mentor for him to just keep than McKinnon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
To just keep, like, if he, you know, McKinnon says, hey, come back with me and train this summer.
You can't say no.
You can make it see him make another step in that, you know, in the conditioning and stuff. Because the skills was always there. You could see the skill. Like, I remember, I think it was the World Junior tournament where he, you know, of course, everybody said, oh, this guy's going to be a superstar because I saw him dangle a few times and do a few, you know. I think it was an outdoor game where he was, you know, the best player on the ice and most dynamic, and everyone thought, oh, this guy's a superstar. Yeah. Well, you know, he learned in a hurry that you can't just get by on skill at the NHL level. You got to work at it. So, yeah, I think that's a good spot for him to just keep progressing his game as he, you know, as he hits the, what's he, 26 or so now? So his late 20s, you know, in his prime, where he might just keep getting better. So good deal for the Avalanche, for
McKinnon,
both.
McKinnon's a robot too. Like,
if this
poor kid agrees to train with McKinnon in the summer, he's in for an awakening. Cause like, I know a lot of people in the East Coast, and I've heard the same thing over and over. Like, he is a robot.
Yeah.
He's the best player in the NHL right now, maybe.
Yep. No, I completely agree. I think I love what Colorado's doing personally. I think this is fantastic because they have the big three, right? They have the best defenseman in the NHL, the best player this season, and the best power forward in Mikko Rantanen. You have to maximize that timeline. And right now they're doing exactly that. They're giving them a young 2C that fits that mold. They're giving them Sean Walker on defense who replaces and maybe even, you know, right now, better than Bowen Byram. This is great stuff from Colorado. I love it.
And they got more than just those two. I mean, they're going to get Landis Cog back for the playoffs. And I think Val Nichushkin, despite his off-ice issues, I think is one of the more underrated players in the league. He's really blossoming in Colorado. He's a two-way star. Like, he's a star for them.
No, that's it. They're looking good.
They got a little credit. They're looking good as they usually do. But the West is so tight. What do we got next? We're going on.
Yes, sir.
Keep Nichushkin out of the hotels, and they should be okay.
Oh, okay, we move on. next up, the Edmonton Oilers acquire Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick, both of which 50% retained, as well as a 7th round pick and Ty Taylor, who I don't know, in exchange for a 2024 first round pick, the only 2024 first round pick that was dealt to Anaheim, as well as a 2025 fifth. The condition on that is that it upgrades to a 2025 fourth if Edmonton wins the cup, and Tampa Bay Lightning retaining some salary on Adam Henrique are getting a 2025 fourth round pick. The condition on that is if Edmonton wins the cup, this changes to a 2026 fourth round pick. That's a bit weird, but anyways, what do we think about this? Who wants to start us off?
So that first round pick, it doesn't really, like, that's from Edmonton, I guess, right?
Yeah, the 2024 first is from Edmonton.
So yeah, okay, so they'll be getting another late first. Well, Anaheim's just keeps loading up on the picks. They've made a lot of the first round picks in the last few years, and mm-hmm. you know, they've made some good ones. So I mean, that's what they got to do. They got to build through the draft here, and they're doing that. So Marty Madden's made some good picks in the past few drafts. So why not, if you like your scouting staff and think that they're, you know, confident with what they're doing, why not give them as many bullets as you can in the top 60? Makes sense. So I don't mind that from an Anaheim point of view. I mean, Henrik's getting up there. I think he's mid-30s now. So he's not part of the future for Anaheim. And to be able to get a first for him and Carrick, I think that's a pretty good return, to be honest with you. Edmonton, I guess the plan is to Henrik going to be their third line center, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Most likely.
If you're paying that kind of price, he's not going to be your fourth line center. So
Eric probably slots him as their four, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. So I mean, as Brian Wilde always says, "Win the middle, win the game." You know, that's his famous saying. And
they're good players, though. Henrik's still, even in his mid-30s.
Oh, yeah.
Two-way veteran. And a little veteran leadership isn't going to hurt that Oilers team either.
He's good away from the puck, good leadership qualities, good mm-hmm. veteran. He's been through the wars, very good defensive center. That's all things that they need. And, you know, he'll provide some offense still too. He can still put up some points. So, no, I like Henrik. I pushed for the Habs to get him a few years ago, and they didn't from New Jersey when he was still in his prime, really, you know? Yeah. So no, he's a good ad, and they're going to have to do that, 'cause all the other contenders in the West are loading up, right?
Yeah.
Getting guys, and Gensel's still to come, and it sounds like he might go to the West too. We'll see. But it's going to be a dogfight in the West this year again. And Edmonton had to do something. Why not a late first? Hey, might not even play in the NHL, right? So go for it. I mean, under Knobloch, their winning percentage is .755. So should be as favorite as anybody to come out of the West. So absolutely, why not go for it? So I like I like the deal from both sides. It made sense.
They could use a defenseman still.
Yeah, well, they might.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Weird that Tampa's retaining salary on that when they're.
Yeah, that was strange. I still don't understand that one.
But
they should be acquiring people, not taking on salary.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a plan for why they did that. But what's next?
Yeah, next up. Well, we'll glance over it, but it's worth noting Alexander Wennberg, now a member of the New York Rangers. They gave up a 2024 second round pick as well as a 2025 fourth rounder. But the big one, and the one that a lot of people are pissed about, Noah Hanifin has been traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. In exchange, Calgary receives defenseman Daniil Miromanov, a 2025 first-round pick. The condition on that is if traded by March 10th, or if the pick is top 10, Calgary will instead receive 2026 first-round pick from Vegas. They also get a 2025 third-round pick, and the condition on that is that it upgrades to a 2025 second-round pick if Vegas wins one playoff round. And the Philadelphia Flyers are a third-party broker. They're retaining 50% of Noah Hanifin's salary, and they're getting a 2024 fifth-round pick for doing so. Again, the cap circumvention, whatever you want to call it, Mark Stone's going to be fine and ready for game one of the playoffs. It's within the rules, right? It's not illegal, but it's annoying because they keep loading up and credit to management. They're taking advantage of that rule. But yeah, Hannafin is a Vegas Golden Knight.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, the rich get richer, right? And,
yep.
And that's fine, but what I don't understand is why everyone would be upset about it. Like, get mad at your own team for not doing it. They're making the most. No, but they're using every tool in their toolbox within the rules of the CBA to give themselves the best possible chance to win. And is that not what you're supposed to be doing? I love the move, obviously, from a Vegas standpoint. Oh, yeah. And Calgary, you know, you get in a first, probably a second too, and what they believe to be a regular NHL player. So for a guy who wasn't going to come back, you know, you got to like it for their perspective as well. But obviously Vegas getting to add another top three defenseman to their team.
Stupid.
You know, it is unfair in a sense of how much wealth they have, but hey, at the same time, they've done a great job. And if you don't like it, play better.
So much like, are they going to become the, you know, it's always you hear build through the draft, right? Well, the anti build through the draft, they just keep trading away all their picks, all their the guys that they've drafted. And hey, if they win again, you might see, it's a copycat league, right? So
yeah,
maybe you might see that a few other teams start to go, hey, okay.
Now that'll have to be changed for the next season.
For sure.
Yeah. And but I find the interesting thing I find about that trade is the conditions where, well, you know, we might still trade this. Now, the hot rumors, or one of the teams that Gensel has been rumored to be going to is Vegas. And I think that puts a lot more credence. I think that condition puts a lot more credence into that.
Oh, for sure.
100% of it. Yeah. Well, okay, but we might want that trade. We might want that first round pick for Gensel, right? If you read the tea leaves on that, so I think they're certainly in the. That's why that's part of the deal where, hey, you know, we might still need to use that to get Gensel. So if they get Gensel,
it's over.
And Hannafin,
it's over.
Well, I mean, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat again. You know, as much as I hate to say it, because I'm not a fan of Vegas. I didn't cheer for them last year. I'm not going to cheer for them this year. I hope they lose four straight in the first round, but I don't. It's not looking that way. That's for sure.
I mean, when you got a decor of you know, Pietrangelo, Shea Theodore, Noah Hannafin, Alec Martinez, Braden McNabb, like. Zach Whitecloud, like you just keep going. What the hell? What the hell?
Yeah.
It's anyways, good for them.
And you know, and I know a lot of people saying that wasn't a great return for Calgary, but we'll see how the Russian kid. I mean, what you know, where he wasn't getting opportunity with that lineup, with that on defense. So maybe Calgary, the way you know, with them trading Tanev and. Zadorov, and now like he could be top three defenseman on the team, down the road. So it one team's trash is another team's treasure, and in this case, it might be that he ends up playing a top four role for them. So if they get a defenseman that plays top four for them, first round pick pans out and is a good one. It's not a horrible return by any means for somebody that. you know, was going to be leaving. So again, and I think that they're trying to blow it up, you know, a la Chicago last year and be in the running for the first overall pick next year. Right.
Oh, man.
They're almost guaranteed now to have a top 10, to finish in the top 10 next year, which if I understand the conditions on the Monahan trade correctly, will mean that Montreal won't get their pick next year.
Yeah, those conditions are insane. There's so much.
It makes sense for them to kind of blow it up and, you know, be as bad as they can be for the next couple of years and try to get a couple of what they hope will be franchise young players, which Calgary has not drafted top five like I don't know that they've had a top five pick in the past 20 years or like
Rico Fada maybe.
Yeah, Monahan was like the only top.
Yeah,
they haven't had a lot of high picks or hadn't.
Chuck Monahan, that's it.
You know, so it's time for them to rebuild the old-fashioned way, get some high picks and be bad for two or three years. And
Sam Bennett, they had third overall.
Right, right. Yeah, I knew there was one. I couldn't think of it, but he, he didn't play like a third overall till he got traded to Florida.
Yeah.
No. Plays like one now.
He does.
That's it.
And my ranking of having him third overall finally looks good. It only took 7-8 years and a change of scenery, but hey.
Prospects develop at different pace. We know this by now.
He was fourth overall, wasn't he?
Fourth, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Draisaitl went third and he went fourth.
That's it.
Yeah. Reinhardt, Draisaitl, then Bennett, yeah.
Okay.
So that's it for the big ones. Now there's a few more minor deals, like Joel Edmondson going to Toronto for a 2024 third and a 2025 fifth. Capitals retain 50%.
That's not minor. They just planned the parade down Yonge Street as soon as they heard that deal.
Yeah, that's it. The big crush check. He won't be bullying them this time around. So I guess.
I think they're more apt to have a parade in Edmundston.
Oh. Well, you know what? Edmundston did make another move. They went and acquired Troy Stetcher from Arizona for a 2027 fourth rounder. Again, depth acquisition. It won't push them over the edge, but it's.
I like Edmundston, the pickup, but that wasn't a high price to pay.
No.
You know? He, when he's healthy, he's arguably as effective. Certainly at playoff time, he was a stud for Montreal and a stud for St. Louis in two teams that went to the finals and one that won a cup. So really, when he's in peak form, he's, you know, similar really effectiveness to David Savard. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that tell you that Montreal's dreaming if they think they're going to get a first round pick for Savard? I guess he's healthier, right? I think that maybe
back issues. To do with it.
Like tomorrow, Edmundson could be out for the year, so I think that probably hurt his value to a certain extent and makes Savard more valuable. But there's a decent chance that Montreal doesn't get the offer of a first round pick for Savard. And if they don't, they don't get that forward prospect that they think can play in their top six at some point, they may just end up hanging on to him, much to the chagrin of a lot of Habs fans that always want more draft picks. You know,
sometimes the best move is no move, right? So keeping him could be good. Now Colorado is not done. They just went and got Brandon Duhaime from Minnesota for a 2026 third rounder. Again, depth acquisition, but not bad. Good price to pay. But the one that we want to talk about here is the only move that Kent Hughes has made. The Habs have traded Jan Mišák to the Anaheim Ducks in exchange for Jacob Perreault, the son of Yannick Perreault and the brother of Gabe Perreault. So interesting pickup here, Gret. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, the other day I was chatting with Brian Wilde about, you know, and he was bringing up the possibility of the Habs getting Perreault. And here they did. Well, of course, it's not Gabe Perreault who he was talking about. It's his brother. But now, like I was said, I tweeted out, maybe they'll go after Leonard now. John Leonard, who is Ryan's brother, anyway. But I talked to a couple of scouts, and I remember in his draft year that, you know, Perreault kind of was one of those guys that frustrated old school scouts. Lots of talent, but character questions, a little lazy, not the best skater, a little soft, away from the puck. You know, those are not things that endear him to the old school scouts, that's for sure. Has a rocket for a shot, lots of talent, he can score, but he hasn't, he's regressed production-wise in his first 3 years in the minors, which is never a good sign. You don't like to see the point totals going up instead of down. His old man, he didn't crack the NHL till he was 25. He had to get faster. He had to work harder in the off season. It took him a while to figure it out and to get up to speed. And maybe it's going to be a similar path for him where he'll have to, hey, I got to work harder. And he'll figure that part out because the talent's there. He's got NHL skill. He can score goals. He's got definitely got an NHL shot, like an elite shot. So when you have a dimension, an elite dimension, and he does, there's always, you know, you don't give up on the kid at 21. You hope that he figures that other stuff out and becomes a better pro, works harder. He does all that. He's got a chance to play in the NHL someday. So it was worthwhile making the deal because Meshach's kind of the opposite. He's tons of character. You know, he's going to work hard every game, great kid, but not the biggest guy, not the fastest guy, not the most skill. Really, NHL, he's going to make, if he makes it, it's going to be bottom line role as a hardworking character guy.
Yeah.
So kind of opposite sort of players in a lot of ways. And worthwhile making the swap. Montreal is looking for another scorer for their top nine, another young one. And the more of them that they have that could potentially be that, the better chance that at least one of them finally pans out and then it fills that spot. So you can't fill a spot with a scorer unless you've got ones with that potential. And he gives them another one with that potential. So from that perspective, I think that's why they made the deal. And, I think it made sense for both teams.
Do we notice a little trend here with the Anaheim Ducks? Pro, skilled, lack character, lack toughness, not old school. Drysdale, skilled, lacks a little bit of toughness, lacks a
little bit. I know you tweeted me the other day about, I don't agree with Drysdale lacking character.
Lack of character, but like, he does not play a traditional defensive game. Mm-hmm. He doesn't at all. Plays more like a rover, runs around. Tortorella said his first press conference, right? But it's just another high skilled guy that doesn't necessarily play as a traditional position would suggest. And Zegras, another high flying skill guy that they know is on the block. So it seems like Anaheim is maybe consciously going back and trying to get a little bigger, a little tougher.
Why did they draft Carlson then? So I don't know. Carlson's not a tough guy. He might throw a hit once a year. So I mean, no,
but he's not small and soft.
He's tall, but go have a look and see his two hits that he's thrown this year. That's probably about all he's throwing. So,
yeah.
No. I disagree that he's soft, I think. So,
well,
I mean, maybe that'll change. But, yeah, because they got him, because he's not the hardest guy, you can have – you only want so many of those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Zegras, the rumors are that he's on the block, and he probably is. But, yeah, I think they had a look at it and thought, okay, we picked up Carlson. He's going to be a key piece, let's try to get some guys with a little more grit and character to surround him and McTavish. But, yeah, and, I mean, Braden Tracy's the same way. They picked him in the first round, and he's not a very hard player either. And I think they probably looked at that and said, okay, we've drafted too many guys, skill guys. We need to augment it with a bit more grit and character. And I agree with that. And again, to say that Carlson's soft, maybe that's a little maybe that's being a little hard on him considering how old he is and that, but certainly that was my big issue with him last year. And it still is that he's not going to be a gritty guy. You know, that's not going to be his game at all, but you've got McTavish, you pick up Meshack that maybe plays a bottom line role down the road. And you try to balance it out. Goche, he's got a bit of sandpaper to his game. So, yeah, I like that they're going to try to get complimentary guys to go with skill guys. McTavish, we know for sure, is a all character and grit. Oh, yeah. So there's going to be a nice balance there, And mm-hmm. it made sense for them to get Carlson when they drafted McTavish too, in that sense. Because, there's a nice mix there. So
yeah,
they're building a nice three or four years down the road. Look out for Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. No, that's it. They're going to be a wagon. The depth on defense is also insane. So yeah, props to the Ducks. They're going in the right direction, but I think the Habs are as well. And I think Jacob Perreault, If he pans out in Laval, hey, we might see him with Montreal someday. So low risk trade, nothing to worry about here. And that'll about do it for the trades so far. And granted, tomorrow is the actual trade deadline, so hopefully there will be trades left. Now, we will only be covering those trades next week, but you can get your fix on the Sick Network. Okay, Tony Marinaro every night at 10 p.m. He'll break those down. And we got Pierre Maguire and Jimmy Murphy on the eye test at 4 p.m. Eastern every day to break those trades down. So the Sick Network, okay, we're a family. I'd love to promote those guys. They do an excellent job. So you can get your trade discussions over there. But now we get back into our prospect talk. And Rocco, you had quite the adventure recently. You went to go check out Zane Parekh. So tell us about all of your experiences, because there were many.
Yeah, I had an interesting weekend. So originally I had booked this weekend in Toronto because I was going to a concert Sunday night, see a kid named Sam Barber, who's an unbelievable artist if you haven't heard of him. So I called my buddy Darren in London. I said, I'll make a weekend of this. Let's go catch a couple games. Come see a game with me. He says, yeah, no problem. So we pick Saginaw. Saginaw was playing Brantford. And I'm driving up, so it's about 5 hours from Ottawa. And Darren was coming up from London. It's about an hour. So I text him when I'm close. That no problem. He's going to meet me there. So about 10 minutes before, about maybe not quite 10 minutes, 5-6 minutes before I get off the highway. And I'm just jamming out. The Metallica's cranking. I can't hear anything anyways. But my cars start shaking. I said, it's not normal. Maybe there's weird pavement going on, whatever, this and that. I keep driving, think nothing. And I'm like, it's getting a little bit worse. I'm like, okay, something's definitely screwed up with my car right now. So I look at my map. I'm like, okay, well, I get off the exit in 2 kilometers. Like, there's a Canadian Tire right there. I'm like, we're just going to make it there. So get off the exit. Buddy's buddy pulls up beside me, waving his hands, this and that, crank the window down. He's like, your tire's like blowing up. I'm like, yeah, okay, thanks, man. I didn't go to Canadian Tire right there. So pulling the Canadian Tire parking lot, of course, they closed about 5 minutes before I got there. And buddy behind the counter wouldn't acknowledge my existence, which is fine. He wants to go home. But now I'm in a pinch. I got three tires, and I got another 15 minutes to get to a junior game. And you know, game is at 7:00. At this point, it's about 5:45. I'm trying to just get there. So I called Darren and said, how close are you to the rink? He's about 5 minutes. Why? I'm like, well, I got three tires, so I need you to pick me up. He starts laughing. He goes, Jesus, okay, no problem. So he picks me up. We go to the game, and we'll watch the highlights of the game. Long story short, I'm in for $900 for a new set of tires at the Canadian Tire. They had a good deal, and I needed new summer ones anyways. They said we could just replace the one, but we got a good deal. They sold me good, eh, those guys. That's okay, though. But I needed new tires anyways. The one exploded. Poor Darren, though. We drove back, stayed at his place in London that first night, and he had to drive me back an hour back up to Brantford the next morning. And, you know, neither one of us felt like driving. I'll put it to you that way, probably, the next morning. But he's a good pal, so he brought me back. Too much money at Canadian Tire, and off I was to Toronto to go check in for the next two nights. I was planning to see Barry, so I could get a look at Beaudoin and Patterson on Saturday night. So I had a hotel in Toronto. I'm like, okay, no problem. Around game was at 7:30. Around 5:00, I left. I'll take my time getting up to Barry. Get up to Barry, no problem. There, nice and early. Pull over, see a McDonald's, which makes me happy. So I have a quick McDouble before the game. I was there really early, and I'm watching from my car as people are walking up to the thing and walking back and walking up to the gates and walking back. I said, the hell's going on here? So I'm like, okay, 6:00, I'll go in and get in settled before warmups and go up. Sorry, sir, not tonight. He said, what do you mean? Well, game's canceled. I said, what do you mean the game's canceled? This is the sign on the arena. I pull up and Barry, tonight's game is canceled. And I knock on the window and Asher opens. He goes, yeah, sign's right there. I said, yeah, no, I can read the sign. Just wondering why. He goes, oh, there's an issue with the ice. Players were about to come on and, you know, nothing. I'm like, great. So now I've driven an hour plus to Barry. Now I got to drive an hour back to Toronto to my hotel. Jeez. All pissed off that I did that trek for nothing, because I could have had a night in Toronto. That would have been a lot of fun. More fun than Barry anyways. But so that was my Saturday. That game just didn't happen. So we had an early night, recovered, went to bed nice and early. I said, we'll put this Saturday night in the trash and try again on Sunday. And Sunday afternoon went to Guelph. Saginaw was playing Guelph and got to see Parekh a second time and got to see Jet Luchenko as well. We won't talk about him too much, but he had a very good game as well. We're going to dive into him a little bit more next week, probably. So that's why I won't mention it a lot, but got to see him in person for the first time, which was great. And then I had a nice safe drive back home. Went to the concert Sunday night, came back Monday, and no issues on the way back. No exploding tires, no car trouble. So, it was a tricky start to the weekend, but got a couple really good games and really good viewing. So, maybe we'll jump right into that. I know we're getting tight for time. So let's roll the Parekh video.
Let's do it. When you send in your expense report there, make it a flat rate there, Rocco.
Oh, I get to send in my expense report, do I? Okay, yeah. Well, I've got that on video now. So there will be an invoice for you guys in about 45 minutes. Don't you worry. So Parekh. Now, one thing I want to note, this rink in Brantford, they're just playing here while Hamilton's getting their rink fixed up. So the rink is smaller than a typical rink. It's about 5 feet less wide in the neutral zone. You can see it's just the circle. The neutral zone's 10 feet smaller. So things are pretty bunched up. But Parekh had one hell of a game here. He was all over the place. The third period, he was especially. First and the third, he was really, really good. But he dominated. And there's not much that I can say about him that I probably haven't already. His footwork is just so good. His offensive vision and his ability to create lanes for both passing and shooting really, really stood out in person. You get more of an appreciation for, I think, the deceptiveness, because the game is quicker when you're there sitting in person. Little head fakes he throws, or little times that you can't see on video, you can see where his eyes are going in person. And a lot of times he'll be looking, physically looking one way, and you see it right there. The guy just spun around the opposite way, thinking he's going to send it back to the point, and then it goes across. So his ability to deceive is really, really high end. And that allowed him to get 10 shots on goal in this game, which is just absolutely, it's bananas, really, for defensemen. They had 40 shots in the game. He had 10 of them. And not a crazy power behind his shots, but very accurate, very well placed. And to get them through without getting blocked frequently is a skill in itself. And he does that as well as any defenseman out of the OHL that I've ever seen in my time scouting, which would have started with the 2016 draft. The year after McDavid is when I would have really got into it. And he's the best at that one particular thing that I've seen. Like you see right there, he just spins off a guy in the neutral zone, delivers one tape to tape. Like, there was three or four times in this game where he made a pass and right on the tape or right where a guy would have been able to get it. And his player was not even looking, wasn't ready for it. So if you're hitting your own guys on your tape and they don't even see that possibility, like, you're seeing things on the ice that other guys don't see. And everything that I saw on video was confirmed for me in person watching him. And in the third period, especially when they were down, he kind of just decided, okay, well, you know, this is a fun game between two teams, but I'm just gonna go be the best player on the ice now, and we're gonna win this one. And that's exactly what happened. He played at least 10, 11 minutes in the third period. Plus, I don't know if he came off during the overtime, and it was shot after shot after pass after scoring chance. And he really did just put the team on his back in this third period and decide and kind of will them to a victory, which was the second game in a row. He ends up scoring the overtime winner in this. And it's the second game in a row he did that. And I think now, another thing that I'll mention about him, which I haven't had a chance to talk about because I would have had no idea, but the Saginaw parents were actually doing a road trip weekend with the team. So I actually got a chance to speak to one of the parents. I won't mention who, but it's a parent of a drafted player, so they would have enough of a clue to know what they're talking about. And I asked him, what's this kid like as a kid? What's he like as a teammate? What's he like as a guy? And honestly, before I could even get my question out, he said, nothing at all to worry about with this kid's character. He's a great kid. He's very, very well liked in the room. Very, very hard worker. One of the hardest workers on the team, by all accounts, is a phenomenal teammate and a really, really good kid, and has a desire to not only does he have more talent than pretty much everyone, from what I was told, his work ethic is right up there as well. And you could see it when, you know, you saw on the first goal the way his teammates, and here's the overtime goal here, and it's just a great shot. But watch how his teammates really flock to him. And I know he scored the overtime winner, so they're excited. But, like, you know, you see it sometimes where it's like, okay, we'll kind of celebrate. We don't really love that guy. But it wasn't like that. They poured off the bench like, yeah, Zane, yeah. Like, you could see it. And that, to me, says a lot. When your teammates get that excited for you, especially when you are the best, because sometimes there can be a little bit of jealousy amongst teammates for guys that are really going to go somewhere, and there's not. They're pumped, and you know, I can't say enough about him. He had a great weekend. Couldn't have had a much better game on Friday night.
Yeah, I watched that third period in overtime, and it was quite impressive, even on video. I saw a second out. He's confirming Rocco's, Rocco's been hoping to see. So, I mean,
it made the busted tire and the $900 Canadian tire bill a little easier to swallow. Although I'm still not excited about that, but it was well worth the trip down. And Grant, now before I realized Grant was being Grant and just trolling me a little bit, as I like to do to him, but he texts me, he goes, I don't know, that game didn't really do it for me, and I almost crapped my pants. What else do you want him to do, man? And he says, I'm just kidding. Hell of a game. I said, okay. I thought I was going to have to take you to a doctor's appointment soon over that one. But but no.
I thought you'd realize that I was being sarcastic there.
Oh, well, your response just made me think. Hard to try and get CAA to bring me a tire, but they wouldn't do it. So we were dealing with that. But yeah. not to be outdone, you can roll the other video now.
There's no rush here now. We apparently their meeting's been canceled. So I just want to talk a bit more about what you said about character and that. I mean, I've had that. NHL scouts have been digging into that quite a bit. You know, really getting the just doing what you did, talking to parent, talking to teammates, talking. And the family in general is just a great family, apparently. And he's a hardworking kid. So I can definitely back that up with what you're saying. And there's a series that's been on afternoons at TSN. There's a Saginaw, one of those reality shows where they're showing the saga of Saginaw this year. And there's been I've watched a few episodes, and yeah, I mean, he's always smiling, real friendly kid, well-liked for sure. And just a real good character kid. So yeah, there's no issues whatsoever in that regard. And it's going to only help his draft stock when teams dig into his character.
That's it. Now, Rocco, you also wanted to highlight Marek Van Acker, correct?
Yeah, Marek Van Acker. Yeah, not to be outdone by Zane Parekh, because Van Acker had a great game in his own right. And I want to say I just drove down there just to see Parekh. We featured Van Acker earlier as one of our first risers when we started this kind of segment. And of all the guys I've spoken about at length, he's one that's really continued trending upwards drastically. And the more that I watch him, the more that I like him. He just had a fantastic, fantastic two-way game. The details in his game are so impressive for a 17-year-old winger. Like he really gets it, and he really understands, I think, from what it seems, what a winning brand of hockey looks like. There's no cheat to his game. There's no shift off. And he's committed at both ends, and he has the skill to go with it. I think even still, even the first time I did the feature on him, I think I might have sold him short in the skill department a little bit, because he is more skilled than just a really hard working two-way guy. He scores a goal in this game that is one of the nicest goals I have ever seen in person by a junior player. The strength to fend a guy off and to get the puck up so high so quick. You'll see it in a second here. It's first or second shift of the period. He really did impress me in both ends. His hockey sense, I think, is very good. That's Parekh there that he picked off. And he was doing that kind of stuff all game, just good reads and being in the right spot where he can get his stick on the puck. Here's the goal here. Breaks loose, and this guy is on him, and he puts one arm off to fend him out a little bit before he puts it back on his stick and just goes bar down on the goalie. And that was right in front of us. We were sitting right on the goal line, more or less there. And while standing right on the goal line, the barn was packed, only about 2,500 people in that. It's a junior B barn that they kind of retrofitted for a couple of years, but cool environment. Van Acker, I didn't know going into this game. One reason I wanted to confirm if I felt he was either a first or a really strong second. And coming out of this game, I would certainly use a pick in the 20s on this kid. I'm just a big fan of the way he plays. And he's got actually a howitzer of a shot, which I didn't really necessarily realize as much earlier. So he can do it all. He plays both special teams. You know, he's their leading scorer, I believe. And they're first in the East this past weekend, going to this game, they were first in the East. So leading scorer, draft eligible, first place team, you're playing both special teams. You're picking off guys like Parekh, who actually doesn't really get picked off clean like that very often. the pace he's able to keep up with. He's got the prototypical size. I don't know. If you're a team, much like Grant said, Colorado uses their first round pick almost every year. Well, these are the kind of guys that the top teams need to be coming into their system, because you know they're going to play. You know they're going to be effective. You know they're going to be willing and able to play a winning brand of hockey. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to label him a first rounder unless he really stinks in the playoffs. I've seen enough. I'm going to watch him one more time. I'm going to do one more trip to see the Western teams in the playoffs, but he'd have to be real stinky for me to go backwards on him now.
That's good.
Well, he's just kept improving as the season's gone along. Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even, he wasn't even on the radar of a lot of scouts early on in the year. And no. Okay, he's putting up points. So finally get looking at him like, oh, it's not a lot.
The game before, they played a home-and-home with Saginaw. And the game before, Parekh scored the overtime winner in that game as well. But Van Acker had 4 points. He had 3 goals in that game. So, and Saginaw is a hell of a team. They've got a chance to come out of the OHL, right? So he's putting up. There's a few teams that do. I'm not calling them the favorite, but they have a chance. And there's a few teams that do, but they're a good team, is what I'm saying. And he's putting up strong performances against strong teams, and he looks really good against his peers. You know, he handled Parekh very well in that game. So another strong viewing for him. And consider me a fan of both those players.
Van Acker's got a really high floor, right?
Like, oh, certainly. Yeah.
I don't see him not playing in the league.
Oh, something injury related would have to happen to him to not play. In my opinion, anyways.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, that I mean, from 20 on.
Yeah.
If you've got offensive potential too, and he does.
Sure.
That becomes attractive. So.
Yeah, he looks like looks like a real solid future second line player who can play up and down your lineup, play in any situation. Like, you just a good hockey player, man.
Yeah. Right. That's good. Grant, it's time for your sleeper of the week. This week it's Joel Svensson. Talk to us about him.
Svensson. Yes. Svensson. Well, it's funny. Oscar Vole, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the speed here right off the bat. Can we rewind that? I'm doing the Don Cherry. Oh, come on there, control room. I was looking at Oscar Vole because he'd scored 12 goals in last seven games. So, and it went back to this U19 tournament. And so I was looking at his recent goals, and it was this one guy that dangled through everybody and passed it to Vole, who scored the goal. Look at that release, eh?
Mm-hmm.
So I started looking. This is a highlight of all of his goals this year.
Ooh.
He is, he had 24 goals in 25 games in Swedish Junior. So I had a look at the goals, and just about every one of these is, NHL skill type, you know, good at stealing pucks. And he's got his release is just, it's one of the best shots, one of the best releases in the draft for sure. He was passed over in last year's draft. He only scored 6 goals and 6 assists last year in Swedish Junior. So, you know, he never got to play in U18 events, but he's one of those kids that's bloomed. Obviously had a great offseason. Whatever happened last year, I mean, you know, players can have off years, right? And obviously he, for whatever reasons, I don't know if it was injury related or whatever, last year he struggled to produce. But man, this kid, based on what I'm seeing this year, there's look at the dangles here, and then the power move to the net and puts it in. He's got really good puck skills, very good skater. Like I say, his release is top of the draft as far as I'm concerned. Smart. He works hard away from the puck. I looked at a game, his last junior game, you know, in addition to these, because I mean, you know, goal highlights can make anybody look good, right? But he was dominant just all over the ice. He was the best player on the ice by far, but I looked at CS Central Scouting's list and what have you. Nobody's got this kid ranked. They rank 135 international players, and he was not in their midterm rankings anywhere, which tells you if he had a 10-round draft that he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't even be picked in a 10-round draft, let alone in the top 7 rounds. But that game there, he had 3 goals, including the overtime winner right there, and was just dominant again. Like, he's outplaying a lot of kids that were drafted their top 3 or 4 rounds of, you know, from Sweden last year. So that tells me that, and I'm just looking at him, like, look at that shot. I wish that they would add highlights, like replays on these games, but they don't, where you could just see just how hard and accurate a shot is, because it's a zinger. He's got a great shot. So that alone, I think, gets him drafted. But you look at it, look at his speed. He's got really good wheels. He's got good dangles. So all of the offensive, you know, skills are there, and also he competes. So I haven't ranked him yet, but I'm going to have another look at him tonight. Take a look at another game, and if I see what I did in the full game that I scouted of him yesterday, I might put him in the third round. We'll see, but I'm really impressed by what I've seen so far of this kid. I think that he's one of the 2005s that will go, and it might be fairly high in the draft. Now, I talked to a scout that was at that U19 tournament that he played in, and he had he impressed him. So I know that the scouts that were at that tournament came away impressed with the kid. He's getting a bit of exposure internationally, which is good. But it's always nice to see these kids come up that for whatever reasons had off years in their draft year. I went back and looked at his stats from the year before. He played U18, and a lot of the, you know, the 16, when they're 15, 16, they play U in a U18 league. And he was 4th in points per game in the U18s the year before. So he obviously had an off year last year for whatever reasons. But, I mean, he outscored Philip Eriksson, who the 2 years ago, who the Canadians drafted in the 6th round. But he obviously found his game this year. He's gone and he's played 7 games in the SHL. So Vaxio likes what they've seen, and they've already called him up for a good look this year. He doesn't turn 19 until April, so he's still only 18. A goal a game at 18 years of old age in Swedish junior is pretty impressive. You don't see there might be one kid every 2 or 3 years that scores a goal a game at Swedish junior, be it 18, 17, 19, 20. So the kid's got goal scoring ability, and I think he's got middle line upside. So if everything comes together for him, he might be somebody that could play middle line role at the NHL level. So, for those reasons, I'm going to be ranking him somewhere in the top 4 rounds, and keeping a close eye on him the rest of the year. And I think he's a real sleeper for the draft.
Nice. As you were talking, Grant, we got breaking news of a minor trade involving the Colorado Avalanche and the Nashville Predators. Yakov Trenin is heading to Colorado, and Sword. Hold on, we're getting Graham. Reports now from our man Sammy in the studio. And it would be in exchange for Jeremy Manziel and a 2025 third round pick. So Yakov Trenin, the big piece here, going to Colorado.
Jeremy Manziel.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel. Yeah, that's it. Not spelt the same way though, but yeah. Oh boy. Hopefully he's not that stupid. Man, that guy's an idiot.
You watch a documentary, who knows? You don't know what guys go through. I watch a Manziel documentary. You come away with
I watched the opinion of him. Yeah. Anyways,
I'm a little surprised that Nashville's did that.
Yeah,
they're in a playoff position.
Where are they going?
I don't know, but I mean, where are they going? Well, where was Montreal going 3 years ago when they were 12th or whatever it was, and then ended up in this Cup Finals? Where was Nashville going the year they went to the Cup Final? They were 8th in the West, and they freaking ended up going to the final. So, all you got to do is get in, and you just don't know. So, they've got a pile of draft picks coming over the next couple of years anyways. So I expected them, not to be sellers at the trade deadline. So that's a little surprising to me that they went that route. But, hey, there are teams that do that are, in eighth or whatever, and we'll sell a little bit, and hey, we might make the playoffs anyways. So, right from that perspective, sell a guy or two, maybe make the playoffs anyways. And like you say, Rocco, they're not going to be expected to win. So, in that regard, if they make the playoffs, lose in the first round, but still ended up picking up some assets at the trade deadline, then it ends up working out for them in the long run. So
you like that for Colorado. Trennan's a nice, real nice piece.
Oh yeah,
their bottom big, six. I remember him from his Gatineau days.
Big body guy. They played for Hull. Played in Gatineau. Hull. Yeah,
He's got a little bit of skill there to chip in too. He's not completely devoid, and he can bury pucks in the dirty areas. And he's got a little bit of a prick.
He can wear down the defense in a long series. That's a nice pickup for a playoff series. And again, which I'm surprised that Nashville got rid of him. So I guess Trotz is saying okay, maybe we'll make the playoffs, but we're not going to beat Vegas or Colorado or Edmonton this year. And I mean, realistically, they're not. So what's I get it from that.
What's that
perspective?
What's Trennan's contract status? Is he a free agent coming up? Do we know? I'm not sure.
He's costing 1.7. So he's got, I think he is a UFA. Okay.
He's a UFA. Yeah. So maybe in Nashville, maybe they tried to re-sign him and he wasn't going to, and rather get something for him if you're not expected to make much of a run. So that makes a little more sense with him being a UFA, which is what I was getting at.
Yeah. Man, NHL or TSN's trade coverage tomorrow, they better have lots of comedy in the can there, ready to go, because it's going to be a lot of filler. Yeah. You're going to need a lot of filler. I don't know.
They got to bring the monkey back.
Oh, yeah. I liked Trady, the mascot. I thought that was pretty funny when him and O-Dog were fighting over the last bagel. That was good stuff.
First trade break happened while we're doing the show, eh?
Nice. You love it. So Yakov Trennan headed to Colorado. I went to college with one of his former teammates. Shout out Jeff Durocher. He had nothing but good things to say about Trennan. So again, Colorado getting a good piece here.
I wouldn't want to say anything bad about a guy that big either.
Fair enough. But it was fully confidential, and I can confirm that he is quite the player according to his former captain. So good stuff there. Rocco, any parting words from you before we get you out?
No, I'm just hoping I'm gonna get a little work done here this afternoon, this evening, and try and get a good night's sleep and hope something good happens to the Auto Centers tomorrow. At this point, I'm just waiting for us to – but you know what? I got a lot more faith in Staios dealing the cards than I did with previous people. So I'm confident whatever moves they make tomorrow will actually help the Ottawa Senators in the long run, which is a nice change for us. So looking forward to see what happens. I wouldn't be shocked to see Chychrun on the move. That said, I wouldn't be shocked to see him hold on until the draft when there's more, maybe more potential suitors. But you think it should stand to reason that getting him for two playoff runs, you should get more for him. But and then depending if they're willing to retain salary or involve a third team to do that, the return could be quite good if you're giving that guy up for two playoff runs. So we'll see what they do. They're kind of in no man's land this year. So play out the last 20 games and whatever, man. Scrap it. See you next season. Trade the guys we can get something for and
Correct.
They never had an offseason to work with this year. They didn't. Like, they got you get dummy signing the corpse to 5 years, and that's fine. Like, what are you doing? Five years for a guy that's never played 40 games. Like, are you serious? And not that he's necessarily a terrible goalie. He's got ability, but like 5 years, like, come on. And he's never been a starter. Like,
yeah.
He couldn't have won my fantasy hockey league, that guy. He's an NHL GM. But anyways. I got all the faith in the world in the new regime, and they've got a full offseason to work with, and they're going to put their stamp and their identity on the team, which they haven't had the opportunity to do yet through no fault of their own. The season started before they really took over. So we'll see what they do tomorrow, and go Sens go, and I hope the Leafs and Habs both screw it up.
Hey, we want a better pick, so I won't mind if the Habs lose. All right, thank you, Rocco. Let's play the music for him, okay? We didn't.
You just look like Borat there. You reminded me of Borat, didn't you?
Rocco Zappia, great stuff as always from him. Now, Grant, we're gonna get to more
Habs
of the week. What's that?
Oh, I never recognized the similarity to Borat that he has there until he put the two thumbs up. Hey, look,
very nice.
Very nice. All right.
Okay. So, okay. Habs prospect of the week. Again, a familiar name here. Luke Mills. Yeah. Not Casey, but Luke is in the Habs prospect pool, and he's been doing pretty good.
Yeah, geez. I didn't think of that. They got Perreault, and then they got Mittelstadt. You know, who says, you know, they're going like, Suzuki, okay.
Maybe Ryan.
Just like when Rajan Uhl drafted Marcel Ossa and called him Marian Hossa. Now, Mittelstadt had a good – this here is okay, he scored a goal in the first game, and they upset – or didn't upset, but they beat Michigan. They had a back-to-back. Now, this was Michigan was up 3-0, and it's late in the second period. And this is a penalty kill that he was out for at the end of the second, and a very effective job that he did. And it was such a key penalty kill because in the third period, Minnesota came back and scored 5 goals and tied it up late to send it into overtime. So they ended up getting an extra point. So they got the win in the first one, and then they got an overtime loss in the second, but ended up with more points than Michigan on the weekend. So it was very successful, but this was a key penalty kill and he was out on it. So it was very, it was very impressive to see him. His defensive game has come along this year, but there you see he got an assist to make it 4-1. Then with it 5-4, he comes up, empty net, scores the tying goal. So that was pretty cool that, quite a celebration that he ended up getting the tying goal, had a 2-goal weekend, an assist, playing, 20 plus minutes a game, very, very solid. His defensive game has really come along this year. He's playing like almost 20 minutes a game on the nation's 8th ranked team. His point totals are down a bit this year, but defensively he's made huge strides, you know. I mean, one of the reasons why he's not getting the points that he did last year is, I mean, they had Cooley, Nyes, Jackson Lacombe, Brock Faber, you know, all leading the charge. So they're not scoring as many goals as they did last year. So his point totals are down. But, I mean, he's been on the ice for 1.8 goals against per 60 minutes, which is outstanding. I mean, anything under three is good. Anything under two for a defenseman is outstanding, especially one that's facing the, you know, other team's top lines every night. So he's a sophomore defenseman playing on a top pairing on a top 10 team, which is all very, you know, very impressive. He's made really good strides in his all around play on defense in Minnesota this year. Now, he's a left defenseman in an organization that, you know, the seventh round pick. I mean, realistically, you know, you hope that maybe he becomes a good player in Laval for them down the road. But even there, he's going to, you know, he'll run into numbers issues that they're about 10 deep on the left side. So whether he ever plays on Montreal's blue line is a lot of trades and a lot of things would have to happen, but he's showing, demonstrating that he's going to have some value when he finishes. You know, I would imagine he'll play at least one more year in college hockey. Then we'll see if the Canadians offer him a contract or not, or maybe he becomes part of a deal down the road. You know, they're going to be dealing some defensemen at some point. Perhaps they trade his rights over the next 2 years, you know, and another team can sign him that needs that depth, because he's showing that he's at least got an outside possibility of being a good pro. Whether it's at the NHL level or the AHL level will remain to be seen, but he's got some offensive skill. He's only 5'11", so he has to compete and hard defensively, and he does. He's got some jam to his game. He works hard. He plays regularly on the penalty kill. His defensive game has really come along. So good skater, good kid, good pedigree. Obviously, the middle stats is he's got a brother that plays on Minnesota, and then obviously he's, you know, a good NHL player. So there's good bloodlines there. You know, we haven't featured him all year, been trying to get, there haven't been a lot of great performances by Habs prospects this week. And he had an excellent weekend against Michigan. So we give him the nod as a Habs prospect of the week.
Well deserved. And yeah, I mean, it's never a bad thing when you get too many good defensemen, right? So those are always valuable trade chips, you mentioned. And hey, if he pans out, that's fantastic value for what you said, a seventh rounder. Good stuff there. And that'll about wrap it up for us. It's a longer show, but I think it was worth it. Lots of trades going on, lots happening in the hockey world, which we love. Excited for next week's show to see, you know, talk about what's going to happen tomorrow at the actual trade deadline, if there's even going to be any trades. So stay tuned for that. You won't want to miss it. Subscribe, leave us a comment, let us know your favorite trade so far and who your team should go out and get. Very curious to hear about that from you all. We got some very knowledgeable viewers, so very excited to read the comments as always. Grant, what's cooking right now at recruits.ca? I know it's busy time, right?
Well, I'm going to I get things packed up here and back to the table with my laptop, I'll have a look at Perreault. I'm going to take a look at his last AHL game and do a video scouting report that I'll put up on recruits later today. Wrote an article on David Savard that I guess we didn't get a chance to. We're up to almost an hour and a half here. We've been talking. So, I went into, I had a look at every team and their needs and, you know, I think Montreal would like to get a forward prospect back if they that's palatable, if possible, for Savard. If not, then at least it's going to be either that or a first round pick. And I don't think they'll trade him otherwise. I mean, it's not like he's a pending UFA, right?
No.
So it's not like they're losing him in the offseason for nothing. So they don't have to trade him. They'll hold out for that. If a team wants him, they'll have to pay that price. But I mentioned a few guys in the article that, you know, that might intrigue Montreal. I mean, I was looking at Zach LaRue, mm-hmm. Nashville.
Yeah, but when he's not getting suspensions, he's actually a good player.
That's right. No, and he's had a really good rookie season in the AHL. Really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's second in penalty minutes. He's got some jam that Montreal could use in their middle six, and I think in that regard, if you can keep him out of the off the suspension list, he's got some things that Montreal could use in their lineup down the road. So, but I mean, that said, during this podcast, what happened? Nashville looks like they're sellers.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be, you know, I thought they might be interested in getting Savard. Looks less likely now with them trading Trenin, and unless, you know, they have some other moves in mind. But so don't be expecting Zach LaRue to be a Montreal Canadian by the end of tomorrow, by lots of things. But anyway, he was one name that I mentioned, but there's a ton of them in there. And it's a good article to, if you want to, you know, I think it's $249 for Habs coverage or something like that a month. So if you wanted to check it out, try it out, see what the articles and what I have to say about the Savardian sweepstakes, as I called them. Nice. Now's a good time to subscribe. Mm-hmm. Start with that article, or you have access to the archives of, you know, hundreds of articles that I've written over the last few years. So hopefully we can get a few people at the Tryout Recruits website and like what they see and become regular subscribers.
That's it. And for anybody looking for some draft content, you got some player profiles as well with scout comments. So lots of good stuff on there on recruits.ca. Go check it out. Well worth it. And we thank you for tuning in. We've had a lot of support recently, and it's been fantastic. The channel's been doing great, and we want to keep it going. We're pumping out content every week, and we love it. I mean, I'm having a ton of fun. I hope, Grant, you are too, and Rocco's having a blast as well. So we love to do it, and we're going to keep doing it. So thank you for tuning in, and I guess we'll see you next week. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.